Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 241 of Her, the podcast where, well, you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, oh boy, her staying on track in the era of the COVID virus. Yikes. Oh man, this is going to be a rich show with one of my gal pals on board. But before we begin, just know that before we get going on the episode itself, that this episode is actually made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, just hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Okie dokie. Now, here's your first reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. You know why? Because I'm just sitting around twiddling my thumbs waiting to hear from you because your feedback is positively platinum to me. Love it, love it, love it. Love to hear from you. Let's stay connected. All right. It's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Okie dokie. So now we're all living in lockdown, shutdown, sheltering in place. We're self-quarantining. And how in heaven's name do we eat well-ish? Do we take good care of ourselves when right about now, it's been weeks now for a lot of us, we just want to just yell and scream and rant and rave. Like, is this over yet? This is an incredibly serious global pandemic that's affected every single country in the world. And so on that really super serious note, we want to be able to have you maintain your wellness optimally when, gosh, you're sitting there trying to figure out how to make whatever's in your refrigerator work, how to be able to find creative ways to get up and move, and how to be able to stay sane mentally when all this is coming at you. So I decided to reach out to one of my truly wonderful best friends and fellow colleagues, Dr. Felicia Stoller. Now, she's kind of a hybrid of everything. She's a registered dietitian and exercise physiologist, and she also is an expert consultant in the whole world of disease prevention, wellness, and healthful living. You know, that's really important because when you're talking about all of this right now, you want to stay holistic and integrative. You don't want to just talk about one thing. You want to be able to say, how does all this get woven together when we're all so stressed out trying to navigate the challenges of this global pandemic? So with that lovely thought, Felicia, welcome to the Her
Hello.
Podcast again.
Thank you for having me. A pleasure to be with you. As always, I enjoy speaking with you. And now somebody gets the benefit of eavesdropping on one of our conversations.
I know, because, you know, normally we just sort of like yap away, you know, on our own. But now here we are. What the hell is a quarantine diet? And, you know, if people are out there and they're all getting all OCD about, oh my gosh, I'm paleo, I'm, you know, keto, I'm time-restricted feeding, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And yet there you are stuck at home and you can only grocery shop very infrequently because, quite frankly, you're sheltered in place. So are you supposed to be perfect? And what if you can't be perfect?
Well, I mean, nobody's perfect.
Thank God for that, man. Thank God for that.
You know, nobody's perfect. I think I'm probably the exception to the rule in my house that I have so much shelf-stable food that I could be on lockdown for at least a month or two and still survive.
Can I come to your house?
As long as you're not a food elitist about it, then I think that you're okay. I think, you know, last night, for example, I decided to make what was a comfort food that I grew up eating. I swear in my whole adult life, I've never made it myself. I made beef stew for my children, and it was awesome. And I'd had a hybrid of fresh food and canned food and frozen food and refrigerated food, and it was wonderful and it was great. And, you know, and I took a picture of it because I want people to just understand that even someone like myself, who will always say fresh is best, it's okay to use, you know, canned or frozen produce. And sometimes even for some folks, it's just an easier way to shortcut some steps because, you know, maybe somebody wants to use canned beans because they don't feel like soaking and boiling a bag of dried beans. But, you know,
well, it's just, you know, it's, the stuff is, you know, the frozen food especially maintains a very high level of all of those wonderful vitamins and nutrients that we really want to get from, you know, produce. And, you know, quite frankly, nowadays, truth be told, many people are almost shying away from produce. As one can imagine, what's living on the produce? You know, there's that little virus hanging out and what's going on with that? And really, quite frankly, those are very cogent questions. So it kind of makes the frozen and canned foods look a little bit more appetizing there. You know, a lot of people are also, as it were, shopping in their pantry. You know, I was kind of laughing myself. You know, I opened up my pantry. I said, my God, I completely forgot half this stuff was there. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's the bag of lentils, it's the egg noodles, and, you know, all kinds of things that have been sitting there saying, hey, how come, you know, you don't love me? Am I not good enough for you? So that's kind of a cool thing. What else, what should be in a pantry? Like, if someone were to go to the grocery store right now, what could they buy that could be shelf stable in the pantry and really of great use to them as we're hunkering down for weeks of this pandemic?
Yeah, well, let's start with grains. You know, you could start with different grains. Ooh, there are things like rice and quinoa. And for example, I pulled out a bag of wheat berries, frika, sorghum. These are all dried shelf-stable grains that could sit in your pantry for decades. You know, well, not really decades, but you know what I mean. Hopefully you don't have stuff laying around in your pantry for 10 years. But, you know, if you think about it, a lot of dried grains are actually what helped humans subsist during times of, you know, famine in the past, where they could take these grains and dry them and keep them in storage and utilize them later on. So, you know, get creative with different grains that are out there. Having things like, again, you can have canned vegetables, you can have canned protein. So beans were one that we were talking about before. Like, I love artichokes, so who doesn't like canned artichokes, right? You can have those in your pantry too, to add to either a food or some salad. Things like peppers, for example, like red peppers are very high in vitamin C. So you can actually get, you know, vinegared or, or pickled peppers, and that would be something that would be shelf stable in your pantry. It doesn't have to be in your refrigerator. You know, if you think about a lot of pickled produce or things like, oh my goodness, I'm having a brain fart right now with fermented vegetables that are also shelf stable. Those are great to have right now. We know that they have probiotics in them, they have fiber in them, sauerkraut, other mixed vegetables that are sort of, you know, in that same category. Those are wonderful to have. I like buying tuna packets, tuna, chicken, and salmon you can get in packets. I like things like nut butters, whether it be peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter. Those are great to have in your pantry. Soups and broths are great to have if you're, you know, if you have some stock available. It's a great way to add some flavor to your other dishes, even the rice or the pasta. You don't always have to use sauce and oil and butter. You can use broths as well. So I like to keep an array and a variety of that around. I like to have things like peas. I like to have corn. I love that stuff. That's my childhood favorites there, things like asparagus.
All right, hold on. All the ladies out there in her podcast land are saying, all right, we get that. It all makes sense. And this is cool. However, one of the things that, is really affecting people in a big way is stress eating. And, you know, so there you are, And maybe you just got told you were furloughed. Maybe your pay was cut in half and all the rest of it. Maybe you're okay with your work, but, you know, living in your house and pretty much shuttered in is making you moderately nuts. And it just goes on. Maybe the anxieties that women feel in general, because we're the ones with greater anxieties than men, about finances, about whether or not we're going to get sick with this virus and all the rest of it. Maybe all that's just coming to a head and we want to numb ourselves from the reality of it all. And there's nothing better than numbing with some nasty, you know, processed food. So, you know, I mean,
well, I told my children which binge foods were forbidden from being brought into the house. I mean, they're adults,
like
so they go grocery shopping.
No,
my binge food is definitely cheese doodles. I know they're the least healthy thing, but that would be something that if I had a big container of that or a bag of that, I'd eat the whole thing in one sitting. It just cannot be in my house at all. You know, for somebody else, it could be ice cream. I mean, ice cream is something I have to really be in the mood for, but that could be one of those things that once I start, I have a hard time stopping. But I like chocolate, and over the years, I've learned to switch to dark chocolate, and I find that
yes.
I can't eat as much
dark chocolate
as milk.
And making sure that the percentage of dark chocolate is at least 70%. My favorite is 72%. It's just good enough, but those flavonoids in the dark chocolate are so wonderful, great antioxidants. We love all of that. But the stress overeating. So, you know, what kind of switch outs can we have for people who are really kind of hooked on more of the processed food variety of all of this?
Well, I think it's a great time to get creative with what's in your pantry, like you were talking about before, and try and actually utilize foods in your pantry. I've seen people posting that they feel that they're all of a sudden baking and making desserts and doing a little bit more of that from scratch. You know, when you do it from scratch, you can control the ingredients in there. You can use certain items to do swaps. I mean, thank goodness most people still have everyone has electricity. You could look up great recipes online. So, you know, I'll give you an example of something that's a great little sweets swap that I bought it at the store is chocolate hummus. You know, for somebody that likes chocolate, you could take chocolate hummus and eat that with some graham crackers. And that's a much better replacement for, you know, maybe eating a piece of chocolate cake, where you're getting the benefits of the hummus in terms of having the chickpeas and the beans in there with some chocolate in it. And if you don't like chocolate, I know that they sell that in a vanilla variety as well.
Ooh, so and chickpeas have something important for the virus. Chickpeas are a rich source of zinc. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we want foods that are rich in zinc because, as it turns out, zinc is really superb at attacking the virus and helping us heal from the virus as well. So that's a very good thing. I like that chocolate hummus. It sounds a little weird, but between you and me, hey, I'd be willing to try it in about a heartbeat and a half. One of my favorite
things.
I just
wouldn't put broccoli with it, you know?
Yeah, it's, no.
Yeah.
Well, actually, one of my other hummuses that I love is cauliflower hummus. Ooh-wee.
Oh, yum.
Love it all day long. But the stress eating thing, you know, when people are just sort of grabbing and going, wouldn't it be better if they had foods that had more fat in them? You know, so that, I mean, healthy fat, so that instead of putting together a salad with a bunch of nothing in it, adding avocado and some seeds and even nuts, all of this is superb at giving you a greater sense of satisfaction, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And I'm a huge fan of avocados. So, you know, an avocado a day is not a bad thing to be having, especially right now. An avocado to me is like eating a multivitamin.
Oh my gosh. And plus it's absolutely rich in potassium, far better than a banana. And it also gives you that marvelous sense of satisfaction you get when you have a healthy fat. The other thing too, is I could just spread it on, you know, something. I like having multi-grain, almost like Rye Krispie kind of crackers around, really filled with multi-grain and lots of seeds and other good things. And then spread a nut butter on that, spread
I like to take avocado, mash it, put a little bit of sea salt and some red pepper flakes on, you know, some type of multi-grain toast. And sometimes I'll even throw on a hard-boiled egg that I've sliced up on top of that. So,
yeah, yeah.
I think hard-boiled eggs are a good thing to have in your fridge, too. Have them ready to go.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. What are, you know, here people are, you know, pretty much, like I said, limited to what's going on in the kitchen. What if someone just never really cooked before? And now here they are, you know, becoming acquainted with a kitchen that's got cobwebs in it and, you know, nobody's really populated it much. Because you know how it is, you know, in today's society, nobody's been doing that little cooking thing. You know how that goes. So yeah. Where should they start, Felicia? I mean, like, how's that work?
You might mean testing and make sure all your appliances turn on.
Yeah, you know.
You could start like, with that. You could definitely start with that.
Like, I mean, remember, my sister, this is called an oven. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Making sure you know how to use it. And, you know, I think stoves and ovens are really easy, even if you have a microwave. I mean, I'm, again, some people are fearful about using a microwave to cook food with. Again, you could totally do that. It's super easy. Start with some basic recipes. Look at what you have. Follow the directions. And the internet is a wonderful, I can't say enough good things about the internet being a wonderful source of information and resources. And there's even videos if you're unsure of how to do something. If you, I don't even remember, I was making something last week and I wasn't really quite sure about how to do it. And it wasn't enough to just read the directions. I actually watched a video. So I think that there's a lot on the World Wide Web that can be very helpful. You can even probably take some of the ingredients in your pantry, throw them up on a Google search and look for recipes that actually like bring all those ingredients together. If you have some stuff that you're concerned about, you know, maybe I should figure out how to use these if you don't feel confident enough to DIY it and throw some stuff together and make a, you know, take a risk.
I think that's actually a superb idea. You know, just being able to learn to be creative. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. So, you know, here you are kind of inventing new recipes. There's one other thing that's really important to address here. When we're talking about, you know, again, being in a lockdown and here you are in your house and quite frankly, many times fearfully sitting around saying, oh gosh, I don't really want to go out much other than take my walk and safely keep distance and get my physical activity in. But then if you're not used to being home a lot, because, you know, the mass majority of people are used to going somewhere, you know, when they do their work or travel and this and that. But here you are at home and guess what you're doing? Cruising by the kitchen a lot, just saying. And so now you're going to be, you know, cruising and grazing. And next thing you know, you don't have a specified time to eat. You're just constantly eating. You're snacking and you blow it off. You're like, well, it was just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But, you know, it adds up like money in a piggy bank. So one of the things that I like to address is this whole issue of sitting down and developing a new normal routine where you plan your meals and you plan when you're going to have your meals instead of this 24/7 free-for-all that's taking place out there. You know, identifying the foods that you're going to be using for each of the meals, mapping out your meals, choosing the meals you want to, you know, include. So you've got all kinds of ways to organize this. So talk about planning your meals.
Yeah, so some of it starts with, you know, perhaps what you bought at the grocery store. I suggest if people are going to the store, buy food for at least 1 or 2 weeks worth so they can minimize trips out and interacting with other people. So things like meats, fish, poultry, those can be bought fresh. And if you look at the expiration date, if you think you're not going to use it right away, then throw it in the freezer. There's absolutely nothing wrong with throwing that stuff in the freezer right away. And even if you want to buy produce that's frozen right now, and having that so that, like, one of my favorite things to buy is frozen chopped onions because I hate chopping onions. So that's a big staple in my house. It just makes it real easy for me to take that out and use that. So, you know, I have the foods, and again, I'm thinking like maybe there are people that are listening here have other people in their family that are there. So I try to, I have adult children, as I mentioned, they're in college. You know, we talk about what is for dinner. I give them an option. Each kid gets to pick a different meal for dinner. And in my household, because our schedules are so weird right now, and they're doing what other people have been reporting to me that college kids are doing, or high school kids are doing. They're up all night and they're sleeping later and, you know, they're eating later. So we agree to sit down to dinner together in my house, and I'm picking my battles with them. And dinner is the one meal we sit down to together. I make a little bit of extra, so there's leftovers for them to eat the next day for lunch. And for example, two nights ago, we had finish all the leftover night. We just kept accumulating leftovers from different meals. And, you know, finally I said, we got to finish up what's already made. So I think that that's an important thing too, because food waste can be a big problem. I hate food waste. So I'd like to make sure that people are utilizing what they have. So, you know, plan your meals. So maybe map out in your head what you think you want to have. Alternate your proteins, alternate your vegetables. It helps if you're putting lots of colors on your plate. That's really important to remember. It makes foods more appealing when you're eating it. Although I did have a faux pas where our whole plates look like they were beige. If you think about what salmon looks like after it's cooked, it's like that was pale pink. And then we had potatoes and I forget, we had some other vegetable in there that was sort of on the light side. And my kids were like, really, Mom? Yeah, that's exactly it. It was cauliflower. That was it. And my kid just looked at me and I'm like, yeah, I know. I violated my own rules. So, you know, colors can be important. But again, nobody's perfect. It doesn't matter. We didn't have to be perfect. But, you know, just try to plan it out. Think about foods that you like to eat. Think about things that you eat when you go out. Could you mimic that food? Could you create that same dish at home? You know, buy sauces if you need to. Like if you like Indian food and you don't want to make some of those seasonings from scratch, they sell everything in a jar. You could easily, you know, cheat some steps in the process and buy some of that ready to go. So you literally just have to pour that on your food and get creative. So for example, I was just talking about Indian food. A lot of times people think about like a butter chicken sauce and putting that on chicken. I actually have done that on cauliflower. The nice thing about cauliflower is it absorbs the flavor of anything that it's cooked in. So, you know, I got a little sassy with that and I decided to try that. And it was great. It was delicious. It was, you know, you could take buffalo sauce and do the same thing with cauliflower. Instead of having buffalo chicken, you could have buffalo cauliflower. So
I love it. You know, these are marvelous switch outs, which I think, you know, mean a lot to people. And, you know, people also need to have a little bit of a treat. And I think right. It's time we redefine treat from the usual processed trash to what? So what's a really cool treat? I mean, I know that you were, you know, saying that you had made the beet soup and that was something that was amazing and this and that. And then you mentioned a nasty process treat, a little what I love to call a bingeable. What could someone have that would really, you know, kind of give them a feeling like, yeah, I have my treat, you know, I'm good and I don't feel deprived?
Well, I think that depends on what somebody wants to treat on. Some people like savory snacks and some people like sweet snacks. So, you know, in the savory category, you know, I mean, believe it or not, potato chips once in a while. If you're just eating plain potato chips, not the ones with all these crazy flavors. I mean, potato chips are essentially potatoes, oil, and salt, right? You could make your own. You can and make your own sweet potato chips if you wanted to. I make something called Hasselback potatoes, and the way they're made, they're very crispy. So I'm usually, when I make them, they're a big hit in my house. We like to eat them for, you know, for snack the next day. So that's something that I might take and make a dip out of fat-free Greek yogurt and use some chives in it and, you know, dip into that or dip some chips in there. I'm a savory snacker. So that's something that is big for me that I might like to do. Cheese and crackers, you know, if you like cheese, go treat yourself to some nice high-end cheeses and some flavors. Cheese and charcuterie, you can easily, even at the, at the discount grocery stores, they sell things like prosciutto, and you could buy that or some cut up, you know, salamis. I know that, you know, with the nitrates and stuff, maybe people aren't so big on that. But I think once in a while to eat something like that as a treat is not a bad thing to do. And
I love it. I love it. And what you're really giving us is are some really cool options and how to be able to manipulate what you got sitting around the old pantry, and then some ways to be able to stock the pantry in a way that's meaningful, so that you can indeed stay healthy, you know, under these crazy circumstances right now. Everyone out there, we've been talking to Felicia Stoller. She is a PhD exercise physiologist, also a registered dietitian. So what an interesting combination. Someone who really gets it with both healthy nutrition as well as healthy exercise, basically physical activity, keeping yourself as active as possible in creative ways. Felicia, how can people learn more about your wonderful work?
Social media, Felicia Stoller. I'm everywhere just as myself, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. It's Dr. Felicia Stoller. You can get to my professional page that way. And yeah.
And that's S as in Sam, T-O-L-E-R, Stoller.
Correct.
So that you make sure to spell it right, because Felicia has a marvelous attitude about all of this. She's resilient. And one of the things I love about her most, other than her wicked sense of humor, is the fact that she's got such wise words for how to navigate these very challenging times. So listen up and listen to this episode a million times to get even more ideas about how to be able to stay with it, stay healthy, and optimize your wellness despite the challenges of this global pandemic of COVID-19. Felicia, I just want to thank you so much for being on her podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure, anytime.
All right. Well, listen, everyone, run on over to iTunes right now and rate and review the show, because this was a cool show, because I say so, and because my gal pal, Dr. Felicia Stoller, was on it. And this is important to me. I want to hear from you. Why? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek. I'm the host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Hey, thanks for listening today. Now, stay safe and stay well.